We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we've mentioned on the show before how there are a few cities in the United States where people are leaving. And so many people are leaving, moving out of San Francisco, of Manhattan, New York City, that the rents in those places have gone down a bunch. I mean, for a while, there were literally no apartments available in Manhattan. I mean, not one. It's the biggest city in the United States, and for a while, you couldn't find an apartment in Manhattan, in that borough, in New York City. And one of the most expensive places to live. Rent is higher there, and San Francisco out on the West Coast is basically the Manhattan of the West Coast, where rents were so high, apartments were so hard to find, and then coronavirus happened, and over the last 6 to 8 months, people have literally been fleeing those places, and they're moving to states like Texas, Tennessee, and I was just reading where the Ozarks in northern Arkansas, they are paying people $10,000 to move there. And not only $10,000, they'll give you a bicycle as well.
Cha-ching.
Get paid to live and work in the Ozarks in northwest Arkansas. The Northwest Arkansas Council is shelling out more than $1 million in the next 6 months to attract top talent to what they call the charming small towns within the Ozark Mountains. And remote workers, people who move there, will get $10,000 cash to make the move, plus a bike to navigate the hilly terrain.
It's the bike that sold it for me. The money didn't do it, but once you threw the bike in there, I was like, okay, I might consider it.
And I put you over the edge there, yeah. Coleman. That council there, the Northwest Arkansas Council, they are calling on recent graduates, families, career changers, and entrepreneurs looking for a unique opportunity to create balance for those eager to move from congested and expensive larger cities and suburbs. Did you know that Northwest Arkansas is home to 3 Fortune 500 companies?
Did not know that.
Well, I only knew when I first saw this, the first one that popped into my head, that's where Walmart is based out of. I know that. And it is. It's Walmart along with Tyson Foods and J.B. Hunt. So they have 3 Fortune 500 companies there. They're looking to recruit residents with STEM jobs. STEM jobs means science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. He just doesn't look like I'm moving to Northwest Arkansas.
My hope just dissipated.
I got into radio because I'm not good in any of those things. Well, they're looking for those people. People who work in those gigs in particular. Though they say that's not a must.
Well, okay. There's hope.
Well, maybe they have restaurants there that need people to work there, too. With what's going on now because of coronavirus, they say these opportunities in Northwest Arkansas are there if people are having trouble in many other cities because of the pandemic.
I wonder if I could go there, move, get the $10,000, stay there a week and say, you know what, I'm really not feeling this, and take my $10,000 and my bike and go back home. I just go there for a week, try it out, and say, you know what, I tried it, I didn't like it. Do I get to keep the 10K in the 10 speed?
Well, Coleman, I don't know. It doesn't say anything here in this story about people who move there, get the 10 grand, get the bike, and then don't like it after a month or so and say, hey, I want to leave. Could I at least keep the bike or some of the 10 grand? It doesn't say anything like that. But I noticed that how they have money there. They want to pay people to move there. Yesterday here in New Orleans, they just announced that next year for the New Orleans Police Department, which is undermanned, understaffed, and it has been for a long time, They've come up $16 million short. They're gonna have to furlough cops for some days next year, and they just announced that they lost again last year more police officers than they gained here in the city of New Orleans because this city is broker than broke. I mean, the city always in the almost 13 years I've lived here, the city every year always says that they're broke. This year, though, because of coronavirus and so many people not working in the city, they didn't collect nearly the amount of taxes from businesses and people that they normally do. So this year, they're broker than they usually are, the city of New Orleans, and they're broke every year. And now they're saying, in a city here in New Orleans where crime is on the rise, people get shot every day, every night here in New Orleans. They're saying next year, the calendar year starting in January, the New Orleans Police Department, they're going to be $16 million less than this particular year, and they were already broke.
Tough times ahead.
Yeah, when you think about it, the crime is on the rise and the money for police is on the decline.
And the morale is at an all-time low with all this defund talk and all that crazy stuff. And you got cops out there trying to cite people for not having masks. I'm quite sure the morale for being a police officer is really, really low.
So, I mean, you look at what's going on here in New Orleans. I mentioned San Francisco, New York City, the borough of Manhattan, where people are literally fleeing, and there are some other places where people are fleeing and they're looking to go and take their lives and move to other places that are more affordable. They can get work in places that aren't broke. And now in Northwest Arkansas, live in the Ozark Mountains, the Northwest Arkansas Council paying people $10,000 and a bicycle if you want to move there.
Notice that the Ozarks, they want the best and the brightest, the STEMs. They don't want the McDonald's employees and the radio talk show hosts.
No, I guess they don't need regular people like us. Although they say it's not a must
to
work in the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But that's what they would hope. But I guess they need some ditch diggers too, Coleman, like us. Anyway, I just found that something. How the people, areas, municipalities, places to live on opposite ends of the coronavirus situation. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And as we sit here in mid-November 2020, the coronavirus cases in the United States of America, they're through the roof. And over in Europe, a bunch of places in Europe, cities and countries, have been put into a lockdown again. People have been locked down over there. And, you know, there were a bunch of people who said there was going to be another huge wave of coronavirus spreading in America as the temperatures get colder now. And if you watch the news or you believe what they're saying, you pay attention to it, they're saying across the United States, coronavirus right now is worse than it's ever been in the United States. And here in Louisiana, yesterday, there was a court case that some people could watch on Zoom on their computers. But that got so filled up that you couldn't watch it on Zoom. And there were delays in the court case. Well, in that court case, a judge sided with Louisiana Governor John Taco Bell Edwards in his battle against, well, the Republican Party here in the state of Louisiana. Edwards is a Democrat, but many of the Republicans, the state senators, state representatives here in Louisiana, along with our Attorney General, Jeff Landry, they are fighting our governor, Taco Bell Edwards, and his rules when it comes to coronavirus. So yesterday, they were in front of another judge, and they wanted Edwards' mask mandates, his social distancing mandates, his coronavirus rules, they wanted them thrown out, but a judge sided with Governor Edwards. I mean, it was wild how people tried tuning in via Zoom because of the restrictions related to the coronavirus, but only a certain amount of people were able to get on the Zoom watching of this trial, of this judge making this decision. And because the Zoom was maxed out, it also it put some interruptions into the actual judge's ruling. But at issue was whether the governor's COVID restrictions should be revoked. And again, Republican lawmakers here in Louisiana have been battling these restrictions. But yesterday, in the latest court decision a judge sided with the governor. I mean, this has been going on for 8 months now. And when this started 8 months ago, the Attorney General of the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, was standing side by side with Governor Edwards, literally and figuratively. But now, I mean, they can't stand side by side. Well, because of coronavirus. And they're not standing side by side when it comes to the governor's coronavirus restrictions. So, Coleman, I mean, when you look around the country and then, you know, you look around what's happening with coronavirus, they're saying it looks like people will be able to take a shot to get the vaccine this spring. It's looking like most people will be able to get it in April. They're saying once we talked about earlier this week how Pfizer has a vaccine that is working in over 90% of people. They're excited about that. The first people that are going to get that in the new year will probably be first responders. Also, people who are the most vulnerable, the people who are already sick, the elderly, and the obese. And then after that, the rest of America will be able to get the vaccine in April. But until that happens, it's not going anywhere.
I understand that, but here's my thing. Even before we get a vaccine, I don't think the way the lockdowns work is effective. I think, first of all, the virus, even though we've seen the worst numbers in the year, they say, the virus still has a 99% recovery rate for people that get it. And we have been following, for the most part, most people still are wearing their masks. People, like, businesses have been keeping up with their, you know, capacity rates. They're not letting a certain amount of people in. And I'm looking at the numbers at an official website. It's Argus. And I'm looking at the number of deaths in the U.S. Right now, we're at 2,042 deaths. But you know how many cases they've been?
Slow down. Go back. You mean 200?
Yeah, 250. Yeah, 242,000.
242,000 deaths, yes.
Out of 10 million cases.
And I think a lot more people have gotten it.
See what I'm saying?
We just don't know that they've gotten it.
So the point is, yes, I do take the virus seriously. I understand that the virus is out there, and I understand it's harmful for a certain segment of society, but that doesn't justify us living in fear, living in lockdowns, and living in panic mode. You know, just because you don't take the virus seriously doesn't mean we can't live our lives. You know, let's just open everything up, wear our masks and social distance, and then protect those who are the most vulnerable.
Well, we've been saying that on this show for a while. But when you watch the news, there are places, El Paso, Texas. I mean, they're bringing in refrigerated trucks just to throw people in. They not only don't have any hospital beds left. And that's the biggest problem. If you go back to the beginning of this, that's what they were most afraid of. Sure, some people are going to die, but like you just mentioned, like we've said, and everybody knows, this has a 99% recovery rate. 99% of the people that get it, more than that, recover from it. But the country is looking out for the most vulnerable, and they don't want to overwhelm their hospitals. And right now, as we sit here in November, we're seeing in parts of the country, some of their hospitals are being overrun.
That's cool. Now, remember at the beginning of the year when we went overly cautious and we made like all these makeshift hospital beds and Trump brought the ship to the side of New York and then we have all these extra ventilators and none of that was used. That's back in the peak of coronavirus.
And we spent millions and millions of dollars here in the city of New Orleans to turn the Morial Convention Center into a hospital for coronavirus patients, and hardly anybody used it.
You know, any war that's fought, it's kind of understood that there's going to be casualties. But when you know that the objective is moral, you still go through with that war. I feel like if this is a pandemic and we're at some sort of biological warfare, it's us against nature. Yes, there's going to be some casualties. That's just how nature works. But that doesn't mean we have to retreat and fall back and live in fear. I think we should just go out, live our lives, do the best we can to protect those, the best we can to protect ourselves. Fine if you want to wear a mask. But as far as, like, economy goes, let's open everything up, let people get back to a normal life, and just accept the fact that not everybody's going to pull it through. I mean, it sounds
well, Coleman, you've got Joe Biden, who's going to be president. He's already, they're already talking about a nationwide, not only mask mandate,
mm-hmm.
but shutting down the United States of America again for 4 to 6 weeks. But then what's going to happen if we do that? And then after the 4 to 6 weeks, people go out again. We're going to see the numbers go up again.
Oh, you want to know my prediction? Let's say, you know, Biden makes this mandate, a federal mandate, mandating that everyone in the country lock down for 4 to 5 weeks. I guarantee you at some point at the end of that week, just like here in the city of New Orleans, he's going to require your permits for people to go out and live lives. Well, if you want to open your business back up, if you want to go out in public, we have these special federal permits that you have to go get and apply for, that you have to pay for you to go back and live lives. Because right now, New Orleans is the experiment with all these new phase 3.3.7 rules of performers and the cultural economy having to go to get permits just to sing and dance and do all this other stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday on the show.
It seems like it's an experiment. Let's see if they can get away with it on a federal level.
But this, until the vaccine starts getting to everybody in April, how do you see anything changing? And then they'll tell people the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving, and different cities are telling people how many people they're allowed to have it in their homes. You know, they could shut people down, but as soon as people come out again, the numbers are going to go up again. And you know, we've said on this show, don't elderly people, people who are already sick and people who are obese, don't they have to watch out anyways? Well, now they have to watch out more. But dude, this, nothing is going to change. It's only going to get worse until April, until they get this vaccine out to people, and the vaccine, because they could tell people lock us down, they could shut us down, but as soon as we go out again, the numbers are going to go up again. It's like being a hamster on a wheel.
Exactly.
Text us if you want. But yesterday here in Louisiana, again, the Republican lawmakers were shot down by a judge who sided with Governor John Taco Bell Edwards and their battle when it comes to COVID restrictions. Text us. Do you see anything changing until people start taking the vaccine? Our number is 260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. Keep it short, and if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know, something that used to make a lot of news that doesn't make much news anymore is still happening. You know, we're still fighting terrorists. And I just read where Al-Qaeda bomb manufacturer Mohammed Hanif has just been killed in Afghanistan. That's some good news. Intelligence say that Hanif made more bombs than Johnny Depp.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
They're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. If you're just joining us, we were talking about how yesterday there was a court case in Louisiana between Republican lawmakers, Republican state senators, and state representatives. They're battling our Democratic governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, when it comes to his COVID coronavirus restrictions, his mask mandate, social distancing, things like that. And the court case was led by our attorney general here in Louisiana, Jeff Landry. And it was a virtual court case as well because of the coronavirus. A bunch of people tuned in on Zoom, and then too many people showed up on the Zoom deal, and it was delayed for a little while, but a judge ended up siding with the governor, saying that his coronavirus restrictions are legal and they are legitimate, even though many people think that they're not. A lot of this is unconstitutional. But then I'm watching the news over the last few days and few nights. They're saying coronavirus right now across the United States of America is at the worst level it's ever been. And here we are, what, 8 months into it? And you've got Joe Biden who's saying that not only does he want a mask mandate when he becomes president, he's even thinking about shutting down the country, locking down the country for 4 to 6 weeks. And the way I look at it is, well, why do that? Okay, you'll shut down the country and it'll stop spreading coronavirus. But then 4 to 6 weeks later, when you open it up again, the numbers will start going up again. It's here. It's not going anywhere. And we have a vaccine that the American people will be able to take starting in April. By the way, that's going to be two shots. You're going to take one shot and then you're going to have to take a second shot a few weeks after that. Pfizer came up with that. We were talking about that earlier in the week on the show. First responders and the most vulnerable, the people who die of this, the elderly, the people who are already sick and the obese, they're going to be the first ones to get the vaccine. And that'll be in 2021, soon after 2021 starts. The rest of America, and the rest of Americans will be able to get it. They're saying in late March or April. That's what they're saying there. So, I mean, they could shut things down. They could tell people to keep businesses closed and hide. But as soon as people come out again, the numbers are going to go up again. I mean, they just locked down a bunch of Europe. Different European cities and parts of different European countries have been locked down. And here we are. But yesterday, this virtual court case here in Louisiana, the judge sided with our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, and the judge is saying, no, he's the governor. If he wants to mandate people wear masks, if he wants to mandate social distancing and some things shut down, he can. But the way I look at it, it's already here. You could shut things down as much as you want. As soon as people stick their heads out again, the numbers are going to skyrocket again. And again, from a virus that 99% of people who get it will recover from. And we asked you your thoughts on this, and we asked you to text us.
This first text says, pandemic started with one case in the USA. After a six-week shutdown, it will restart again with only one case, no matter if it's brought in the U.S. or brought from another country. So live life.
I mean, we're going to have it anyways.
This texter says, it doesn't matter if the judge sided with Taco. Neither the judge or Taco can write laws. I don't know.
Well, Coleman, you agree, because you've talked about this before on this show. A lot of this stuff is unconstitutional.
Oh, no, it's completely unconstitutional.
I mean, for having mayors and governors tell businesses they can't open.
Right, but they're saying this is a national emergency. That's the justification that they're using for these mandates, that we're in a national crisis, a national emergency, national public safety is at risk, even though 99% of people recover from it.
Yeah.
Troy says, I don't agree with Governor Edwards on much, but I agree with his mask mandate restrictions. His rules are working. Just look at the rest of the country. I'm Republican, but we need to go find something else to fight with him. Now, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, well, the texter, look, and I think that texter understands that this thing is here. This coronavirus is here. We could run and hide. We could, but whenever we come back out, the numbers are going to skyrocket again. It's here. So what do you do if it's here? Well, you do the best you can to not spread it around.
I agree with that. I agree if you want to wear a mask, you should. I agree if you want a social distance. If businesses want to have a mask mandate, I'm okay with that. I'm not okay with the government mandating it.
Sure. No,
I think they could suggest it. I think they can say voluntarily do it if you want to. But to mandate it, that's the part I don't agree with. We should be accountable for our own actions.
Dude, the governor of New York, Cuomo, just shut down all the restaurants again just this week. They had been reopened for a while, but now because the numbers are spreading, no more dining inside in New York City. And we're seeing rules like this be put in place by governors, by mayors in different cities, in different states around the country to help try to stop the spread of this. But again, whenever they let people out, if they ever let people out again, the numbers are just going to skyrocket again.
Charles has a smart text. When they announce how many people test positive for COVID, they should announce how many tests were submitted as well. For example, if 1,000 people tested positive out of 50,000 tests, then we have a better idea what the percentage is overall. See what I'm saying? Because they just tell us the numbers, but they don't tell us the numbers based on how many people. There's no way to quantify how relative the numbers are compared
sure.
to the number of tests.
And that texter's name is Charles?
Yeah, Charles. Remember from a casino back in Mississippi?
Well, Charles, I appreciate the text. And I, in my opinion, and I think you would agree with this, I think a lot more people have coronavirus in this country than we know about. I mean, how many people had it, recovered from it, and never got tested? I think whatever the number they say, the amount of Americans who have coronavirus, you can multiply that by 5 times or 10 times. Because I think so many people already got coronavirus, recovered from it, and never got tested.
All right, one more I'll squeeze in. I'm a nurse in the COVID test site at a university. My belief is nothing would change until the proven vaccine. We are social creatures by nature. The lockdown is a temporary band-aid. Also, most people think once they get the virus, the antibodies will protect them. But the antivirus are also a short-term band-aid. And it's a shame that it took this to teach people how to wash their hands. By the way, I love you guys and keep keeping it real.
Thank you. And that texter brings up a good point. We don't know for 100%. If someone gets coronavirus and then recovers, we don't know if that means they can never get it again.
Oh, one last one since we got time. This texter says, so fat people will get the vaccine first? Well, that's why they're fat, because they always get the stuff first.
Well,
that was mean.
Well, yeah.
That's very mean-spirited.
The most vulnerable will get this first after the new year, when it finally approved. It's the elderly, the people who are already sick, and the obese, yeah, they'll get it first. And then first responders and people that work with the public, cops, hospital workers, things like that. And then the rest of us, hopefully by April. And it's going to be 2 shots.
Like, but I take 2 shots of Jaeger every weekend.
But nothing's going to change. We could go away and hide, but whenever we stick our heads back outside again, it's still here. The numbers are just going to keep going up. But again, the 99% of people who get this recover from it. And, that's the frustrating part for a lot of people. It's like, look, it's out there. You know, we get it. We recover from it. We should live our lives and things should be opened up. And if you're making us wear masks everywhere anyways, shouldn't we be living our lives? All right. We appreciate the texts. Thank you very much. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. You know, on Friday nights here on Bayou 95.7, we play concerts, really cool concerts. And since haven't been able to go out and see music, I think it's really cool what we do. And tonight, it's a Don Henley concert live here on Bayou 95.7 FM. That's your Friday night concert tonight. I think that's cool. You could just crank it up. You have it on in your surround sound in your living room, and all of a sudden, you got a really cool concert in your living room. In your home. So tonight, here on Bayou, we've got a Don Henley concert. And then tomorrow night, there are a couple concerts that we've got that you could check out. You know, yesterday on the show, I mentioned how Tipitina's, the legendary Uptown New Orleans live music venue, I loved seeing shows at Tipitina's, and I cannot wait to go back and see shows at Tipitina's when all of this pandemic mess is in our rearview mirror. But Tipitina's has been having a tough time, obviously. I mean, not long before the coronavirus, new people bought Tipitina's. It was the members, it's the members of the band Galactic. They are a fantastic band, by the way. So the guys in the band Galactic bought Tipitina's and things were going well. And then all of a sudden, coronavirus happened. And now they're struggling just to keep that place going for when the day comes when we can actually go there and see live music again. And one of the things they've done, they just started their second season of Tips TV, Tipitina's television. And for $60, you can get six different concerts. I mean, great shows that they put on there. And you can help keep Tipitina's going. And you can get those great shows on any of your devices. Again, make sure they're plugged into your surround sound system at home. And you can have these fantastic concerts in your home, in your living room. Well, you can do that. You can go to the Tipitina's website and you can do that. And like I mentioned, you're killing two birds with one stone. Not only are you getting great entertainment for really short money, but you're helping Tipitina's stay alive. Well, tomorrow night on their website, tipitinas.com, they are having a free concert. And they're having so many great New Orleans musical acts. I mean, everybody from Dr. John to Trombone Shorty to, and they're having all different types of acts perform tomorrow night, and it's a free concert that if you go to their website, tipitinas.com, you'll be able to watch, I believe it's a three-hour concert with all different types of fantastic live musical acts and live bands. And so that's free. That's tomorrow night, Saturday night at 8 o'clock it starts. And you can get that on their website, tipitinas.com. And then tomorrow night on our website, right around the same time, we're going to have a Foo Fighters show. The Foo Fighters have a brand new album that just came out. And they're playing a show at a place in Los Angeles. I think it's the Troubadour. Or it might be the Roxy. One of the places in Hollywood. The Foo Fighters are performing, and we're going to have that for you tomorrow night, a live Foo Fighters show on our website at Bayou957.com. So with all of this misery America's living through with the pandemic, the coronavirus, we're trying, and people are trying to give you entertainment, even though you can't go out to enjoy the entertainment. We're making it available, and people are making it available that the entertainment comes to you. And you can have your family and a couple of friends over, and you can have a great time with these concerts that we're bringing to you that you could have in your homes. I think that's really cool. And what's that, Coleman?
This text says, I'll pay to see Dr. John live considering he's dead.
How about that? That was one of the best nights that I ever had at Tipitina's in my life. You know, I've lived in New Orleans almost 13 years now. And for the majority of those years, I lived in that neighborhood up there, uptown, not far from Tipitina's, within a couple of block walk. And there was, and I became friends with Tank, who's the general manager there, and a bunch of the people who work there. And some of the best nights I've ever had in New Orleans were hanging out at Tipitina's.
I thought George Clinton was your best. Did you go to that George Clinton show?
Now, which George Clinton show are you talking about? He's played a few times in recent years.
The one where he left the stage and came.
Well, that was the memorable George Clinton show. When George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic played Tipitina's one night, and it was time for them to go on stage, and like 15 or 20 people go on stage, because if you've ever seen George Clinton and the P-Funk All-Stars, there's like 20 people on stage. But the show starts, and people are looking around, they're like, wait a minute, we see all these people on stage, but George Clinton isn't on stage. And evidently what happened, at some point after soundcheck, he hooked up with somebody and then went to their house. And, you know, because George Clinton has a historic cocaine issue. And, you know, he disappeared. So there were like 19 people on stage. And the P-Funk All-Stars are playing. But George Clinton wasn't up there. And the people at Tipitina's are looking around saying, where's George Clinton? They didn't go find him. He was in some house across town. And they had to go find him and bring him back. So when he came back the next time, they said, look, we can't pay you until you finish your set. I guess before that, they would give him money before he played. But they couldn't do that after that issue. And so the last time that I saw George Clinton there, he was actually there, and he played the whole set with the P-Funk All-Stars.
We was talking about tomorrow's Saturday concert is to keep Tips alive, but I remember last time I was at Tips, nobody helped to keep me alive. I almost died. I went with a mutual friend. We went to go see the Toadies, and the shots just kept coming in and coming in. And I don't usually drink Fireball. I drink Jaeger. And I remember I couldn't hold it. I was trying to watch the show, but I was seeing like 5 basses and 8 guitarists and 3 lead singers. So I had to rush to the bathroom to let it out. I had to throw up. But unfortunately, the stall that I went in, the guy before me didn't flush. And it was a bad experience. And that was the last time I went to. Somebody actually had to drive my own car home. I've never had that happen before. I was always able to drive myself home. But this time I was totally messed up. And I had to actually get into the backseat of my own car because I couldn't contain myself. But I made it.
Well, outside of the toilet experience, you had too good of a time.
For what I could remember, yes.
I've always had a great time there. And I've said this before, but my favorite night ever in Tipitina's was about, I'd say maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And it was a Friday night, and I had to go do a little work with a friend. And I got back to my place uptown right near Tipitina's, and it just hit me as soon as I pulled in front of my house. I said, damn, tonight's the sold-out Dr. John show at Tipitina's. And so I got out of my car, and I ran around the corner, and I didn't have a ticket, but Tank, the general manager, was at the front door. I said, Tank, I don't have a ticket. I was just working. You know, I live right around the corner, and they always took care of the neighborhoods.
Wow.
They always took care of the neighbors. And Tank just opened up the door. He goes, slide in, go stand over there by the side of the stage. There's room for you. And I stood right next to the stage to watch one of Dr. John's final shows ever at Tipitina's.
You didn't pull a Mo Green, did you?
No, I didn't pull a Mo Green.
Okay.
I just ran up to the front door. No, and I said, hey, Tank, is there any way you could squeeze me in? I didn't say, do you know who I am? Tank already knew because I lived in the neighborhood.
Okay, I'll just make it sure.
And the people at Tipitina's, Tipitina's always took care of the people who live in the neighborhood there. Because that's what people do in New Orleans.
Great memories.
They look out for neighbors and take care of neighbors.
Great memories.
So yeah, that was one of the, that was one of the most incredible nights, just being so close to Dr. John at one of his final performances ever at Tipitina's. So anyways, tomorrow night, if you're looking for something, any entertainment, while we're not really able to go out, although we're slowly starting to be able to go out, at least for now, if you're looking for something, to watch a great show on your phone or in your living room, hook it up to all of your speakers in your house, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Tipitina's website, tipitinas.com. They're going to have a long 3-hour show with a bunch of different bands that have played there in the past, and I couldn't recommend it more. And then we also have the live Foo Fighters show going on tomorrow night on our website, and then tonight on our website tonight on our radio station Bayou 95.7. 95.7 FM. We've got a live Don Henley concert going on here on our radio station. So we're trying to bring the entertainment to you because if you can't get out, we can't get out to watch the entertainment. Some really cool stuff here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I just put up a video on our website, bayou957.com. I don't know if you saw it or not. Did you see the massive alligator walking around the golf course in Naples, Florida? It came out and started walking around, I guess, after Hurricane Zeta hit that area.
Ada. Zeta was us. Ada.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ada. Yeah, that's right. Hold the Z. After Hurricane Eta just went through there, this massive, they're calling it Godzilla. This is the biggest alligator that many people have ever seen. I've seen a lot of alligators in my life. I've never seen one whose arms and legs are this long. This thing is high off the ground. Again, it looks like Godzilla. And it's freaking a lot of people out. If you haven't seen that, again, I've never seen an alligator this big. And most people who have seen this thing haven't either. If you haven't seen this massive alligator that many are calling Godzilla, go check out the video on our website at bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I just was reading what Black Sabbath bass player Geezer Butler was saying about that Cardi B song, WAP.
WAP.
WAP. Is it WAP or WAP? Because as someone who's part Italian, if that's WAP, if I got offended by anything, I would be offended.
No, I think it's WAP. It's actually WAP. It's not even WAP or WAP. It's supposed to be WAP.
And that song was up at the top of the Billboard charts. It was a big top 40 radio hit, and it stands for wet ass and then bleep.
Right.
Talking about a female's private part.
Right.
Well, I was just reading what Black Sabbath bass player Geezer Butler said about that song. He said, Geezer Butler, this is the 71-year-old bass player from Black Sabbath. He said that song is, quote, disgusting, unquote. He said, a friend of mine didn't know what the song was about, but his 10-year-old girl was singing it. I was like, what? To put it out on an album, fair enough. But to put it out as a single, that's a bit much. So that's Geezer Butler, the bass player from Black Sabbath, the band that many people thought was Satan reincarnated when they came up. And now he even says, look, he goes, I know I'm an old geezer living up to my name, and I'm not the intended audience for that song. But how could that song possibly be a single that is played on top 40 radio in the United States of America? Coleman, do you remember last year there were people that wanted to ban the song White Christmas from the radio?
Yes, I remember that.
So you want to ban White Christmas, I guess because they're thinking it's racist with the term White Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of the people that want to ban the song White Christmas from the radio have no problem with the song Wet Ass Bleep WAP by Cardi B being played on the radio. She used to be a stripper.
Yes, yeah, didn't she? She's See, my issue with this song.
And didn't she used to literally rob some of her customers?
She scammed some people.
At gunpoint?
I don't know about gunpoint, but she did scam
with weapons.
Well, I think she brought people in that had weapons, like guys that are waiting the car or something like that. Now, my issue with the song isn't the content. To me, it's just the song is bad. Like, the music sucks, the lyrics sucks, and the way they flow sucks. But as far as the content, all they're doing is pretty much what men do. They're just bragging about their anatomy and how good it is. Men do it all the time. They talk about how well-endowed they are, how massive they are, and how they can please. So to
you're me, talking about men in the rap game.
Right.
The rap game. In the hip-hop game.
Yeah, so I have no problem with the content. I just think it sucks as a song. But if they did a clever song and they still bragged about how great their anatomy is, I would have no problem with it whatsoever.
Because in rock and roll, there aren't too many bands or singers that repeatedly sing about their junk.
Oh,
that say okay. How big it is and how bad how, to much, the bone, how much it could satisfy people.
The Destroyers, Bad to the Bone, wasn't about him bragging about how he could please women. Or maybe, what's Cat Scratch Fever about? Isn't that about how addictive that cat scratch can be?
There are obviously Coleman songs about doing sex.
Yeah.
But rock guys aren't like hip-hop rap guys who consistently and constantly sing about their genitalia.
Also, I think another thing is how blatant the song is. Like, they're not using any innuendo. They're not using any like weird language. They're telling you straight up what it is. Because R&B songs do this, too. There's a lot of female R&B songs that do the same thing, but they say these poetic words and innuendos and symbolism. They don't just say, I have a wet-ass bleep like these women are doing. But to me, like I said, the song itself, the content, I don't have a problem with. It's, the song just sucks. It sucks.
Geezer Butler said, Coleman, again, remember, this is the bass player from Black Sabbath whose band just freaked out Christians. I mean, scared the hell out of many, many Christians when they came around. He said, Geezer Butler said, quote, I remember when Elvis came out, everybody said he was Satan. And then in the 60s and 70s, he became America's national treasure. It happens with every new wave of music, like metal, obviously. The Christians were going mental when my band, Sabbath, came about. And then when rap came about, people were up in arms about that and certain words that the rappers were using. But he then went on to say, but that Cardi B song, that's disgusting.
Well, so
Geezer Butler said that.
So by his metric, by the year 2050, the song WAP about a wet-ass bleep is going to be a national treasure. People going to applaud it. Cardi B is going to win a Vanguard Award or something.
You never know. I mean, he was just trying to make a point.
And then in 2050, there's going to be a song that comes out by a younger generation that Cardi B is going to say, that is disgusting. Why would they even make a song about that?
I just got a kick out of that. Where a guy who was part of a band that scared half the world. Scared a lot of people, Black Sabbath, when they were coming up.
Yeah, he's not scared of Satan, but he's scared of that wet-ass bleep.
He's not scared of it. He just said, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's great hearing Geezer Butler talk about today's top 40 radio, or songs, at least a song, that made it to the top of the top 40 radio. But yet, White Christmas shouldn't be on radio because that's wrong, right?
Hey.
Boy. It's something. These are wild times we're living in. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We've told you how bad things have gotten in the country, Venezuela. They've gone all totally socialist. And this was once an oil-rich country, and I mean, tons of people are moving out of Venezuela. People are having a tough time eating. As a matter of fact, it's gotten so bad, the food shortage in Venezuela, that their Subway restaurants there are selling inch-longs. Imagine that. That's awful. Our thoughts are with those people down there here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. AC/DC, they got a new album. And today, it's officially coming out. It's officially being released today. It's called Power Up. It's like their 737th album. And they're still doing it, AC/DC. And this is an album that they started working on a couple of years ago, And since they started working on it, the leader of their band, Angus Young's older brother, Malcolm Young, the rhythm guitarist, sadly died. And they got another one of their brothers, another guy named Young, who's filling in for him, playing for him. But they've got the lineup, the biggest lineup that they're known for. They got them all back to record this. And that means Angus Young on guitar, Brian Johnson singing.
Yeah!
Phil Rudd is back playing drums. Cliff Williams is back playing bass. I mean, that's the heyday AC/DC lineup. And what's interesting is I just read an interview with Phil Rudd, the drummer of AC/DC. I mean, that guy has had all kinds of issues with drugs and alcohol, legal problems. And you know, he's been in and out of the band a few times over the years, but he's actually found him. He's still alive. He's back. And he played drums on this album. A very basic drummer. He's a guy that'll never be confused with Neil Peart from Rush or John Bonham from Led Zeppelin or Keith Moon from the Rolling Stones. Phil Rudd is a basic drummer. And I was just reading an interview with him because, again, I guess the new album is called Power Up. It's out today. And by the way, a guy who you hear do the traffic reports on our show, and he does his own weekend show here on Bayou 95.7, Joshua Dausch, he made a video that's on our website now where he is reviewing the new AC/DC album. If you want to check that out, that's on our website. Just put that up there at bayou957.com. But I was just reading an interview with Phil Rudd. He does speak. And part of the interview, they asked him about the former lead singer, Bon Scott. And they said, I read where you were pretty tight with Bon Scott. And Phil Rudd said, quote, you know, Bon was a family guy. I took him out for Christmas once, that sort of thing. It was great. He was a good guy. He was pretty chilled. He was from a different part of Australia as I was. So we'd be recording in Sydney back in the day, and sometimes our bass player, Cliff Williams, would come down to Melbourne, or Bon Scott would come down and hang out with me. Bon was a good guy. He was a party guy. He was just a good buzz. That's what Phil Rudd said about former AC/DC frontman Bon Scott. And even though Back in Black is one of my favorite albums ever recorded, it would be in my top 10 albums of all time. And I think it's a perfect album from the very first, well, I was going to say note, but if you listen to the Back in Black album, from the very first bell, because you hear the bell from Hell's Bells, that's what starts the Back in Black album, all the way to the very last note. I think that is a perfect record. It is a perfect album. It is a perfect CD. I mean, everything about it is perfect. But even though I just said that, Bon Scott is my favorite AC/DC singer. I love Brian Johnson. Nothing against Brian Johnson. But Bon Scott is my personal favorite AC/DC singer. They even had a singer before Bon Scott. They didn't really make it very far. But boy, they had obviously the most commercial success they ever had with Brian Johnson, because when he came in, that's when they were doing the Back in Black album, and that album is one of the five greatest selling albums in the history of albums.
I was going to ask you, are you going to go get the album today when you get off? But I realized technology, you don't even have to go get the album. You could probably like order it and download it, but I know you're going to give it a shot, right, to see how it sounds. You're a hardcore rock guy.
I heard the first single. It was a song called Shot in the Dark, mm-hmm. which was an old song by Ozzy Osbourne, too. But I guess, you know, there's only so many words in the dictionary, and I guess you start coming up with new songs, you run out of words. But, yeah, I mean, I heard that, and I mean, it was good. But, I mean, how many songs does a human being have in them, or a group of human beings have in them.
Clearly a lot.
I mean, AC/DC's been around now going on 50 years, and how many great albums they've had. I mean, it's good to hear from them again, and it's good to see that they're still out there doing it. Even though their current singer, Brian Johnson, he's partially deaf in one ear, and I remember the last time they toured, Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses had to do the singing on a majority of that tour, because Brian Johnson, his hearing was shot, and the doctors told him he shouldn't go out there and be around all of the loudness, but Axl Rose sang on the last AC/DC tour, and they wanted to tour again for this album, but because of coronavirus, and you know, I mean, they're so old now, they have to watch out for coronavirus.
Well, maybe it's an age thing, because both Josh and I, we like Brian Johnson. Nothing against Bon Scott, of course, but Brian Johnson just has this presence about him that I can't, it's like him and Angus together on stage, there's this weird chemistry, and they're just something to look at. Even if I put it on mute, if I watch a video, AC/DC live concert on mute, Brian Johnson just had this weird, like, uncle at a barbecue energy that's just hypnotic to me. Like, he doesn't look like he's supposed to be a rock star. Look like he's
no,
some
he
guy.
Looks like an uncle at a barbecue.
He looks like he's doing karaoke, yeah. And you have all these hardcore rock fans. Like, yeah! And here's this old uncle, like, look like he's singing that in front of a barbecue pit. It's like, it's hypnotic.
I mean, it's what a voice. What a voice on Brian Johnson. It's amazing he's still able to sing on this new album. They said he left half of his voice, half of his vocal cords in the studio when they recorded Back in Black back in 1979, 1980, when he first came into the band. Look, again, I love both of those singers, but if you held a gun to my head, which AC/DC singer do you like more? I don't know. I mean, I always like Bon Scott, but Brian Johnson, you talk about a unique voice. He's a guy that as soon as he opens his mouth, you know who it is.
Right.
And a different voice than Bon Scott. And again, one of the most incredible rock and roll stories ever. Because the last album Bon Scott did with them in the late 70s, Highway to Hell. The last he did with them was their biggest selling album that they ever had. And they thought, all right, now they sat down and they started working on the next album, which would be Back in Black. And they thought when Bon Scott died during that, they thought, oh my God, we were just hitting our stride. We just put out the biggest selling album that we ever did. And now we're writing this album Back in Black. What are we going to do? And then they found Brian Johnson, and nobody in a million years thought that they would, the success level of that band would just multiply like it did. I mean, that album to this day, the few people that still buy albums still buy the Back in Black album.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if Scott laid some vocals down on Back in Black, but they had to erase it once they got Brian Johnson. Like, since they was halfway...
I don't think he ever recorded any vocals,
okay, they just,
but
they just
I think
on
he
it.
started writing it
right. Okay.
With Angus Young, and then he died. And then when Brian Johnson, when they found him, when he came in, Brian Johnson wrote a bunch of lyrics for the Back in Black album.
All right, that's cool.
So, it's wild how today, Friday the 13th, in the year 2020, a perfect day for a new AC/DC album to come out and be released, right? So, and if you want to see our guy Joshua Dausch, his review of the new AC/DC album, it's on our website. Check it out, Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So there's this town in North Carolina, and it's called Elizabeth City. And they want people to go there. And so they've started a new promotion, which starts on Monday, and it runs through the end of the year. It's called Calling All Elizabeths. They want women, people named Elizabeth to visit their city. And if they do, they're going to give them free things. They're going to give them discounts on things. And again, this goes from this coming Monday until the end of the year, December 30th. How many people are you think are going to show up in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, saying their name is Elizabeth just to get free things and discounts on things?
Well, I was sure they would have to have a valid ID. They can't just go around and say their name is Elizabeth. You know, I'm quite sure you have to prove that your name is Elizabeth.
Do you think that that's fair?
What? Well, it's a promotion. Why not?
Elizabeth is the fifth most popular name in the United States for females right now as we sit here in 2020. And so this city, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, they want people to visit there and spend money. And because like everywhere else here in the year 2020, they're hurting, they're looking for cash. So they put out promotions saying, look, if your name is Elizabeth, come here. We will give you free things and we will give you discounts on things. I could just see a lot of scammers, a lot of people. I mean, can you imagine if this big bald dude with a beard says, hey, my name's Elizabeth?
Maybe there's a guy out there named Elizabeth. We don't know. I hope they do have a very good turnout, because I might have to go there and go Elizabeth hunting. Because I'm quite sure, since Elizabeth is the fifth most popular female name, the female-to-male ratio is going to be kind of in my favor. You know, they go up there to get the free stuff, and I go up to get the Elizabeths.
They say, quote, we wanted a fun and exciting way to celebrate our town and invite travelers to experience this hidden gem in the South, according to the executive director of Visit Elizabeth City. Elizabeth is the fifth most popular name in the United States, so we hope to have quite a few Elizabeths answer the call and enjoy the sights and sounds of our inviting waterfront community.
The cool part is, once I get all these Elizabeth numbers, I don't have to worry about confusing their name, because they will all have the same name in my phone. So even if I accidentally say Elizabeth, it'll still be Elizabeth, even though I might be thinking of another Elizabeth. So I'll be like, hey, Beth, how you doing? My name isn't Beth, but if they all name Elizabeth, I can't get it wrong. So I'm going to go out, get as many Elizabeth's phone numbers as possible, and then have myself a field day.
But that'd be something. I mean, if a woman named Elizabeth goes there, she brings a couple of her friends, their names aren't Elizabeth, and she gets all the free stuff and her friends have to pay for things?
That would suck, though.
Yeah. I mean, do you see how some issues could come about? Anyways, the city in North Carolina, Elizabeth City, starting on Monday and through December 30th, they're inviting anyone named Elizabeth to come visit, and they're going to give them free things and discounts on things as well. How about that? Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing that I read, and this morning it's the dumbest thing that I read and saw all week. I don't think this woman that we're going to tell you about is going to win any cooking awards. Coming up next on the dumbest thing I read and saw all week. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Happy Friday the 13th. Yeah, usually people would be freaked out on Friday the 13th. Some people would be freaked out. 2020, I don't think, really. Although I should never say what possibly could happen today that could be worse. But I never say things like that. I never say what could be any worse than, because usually right after I say that, something worse happens. But, Friday the 13th in the year 2020. Anyways, it's the time of our show. Since it is Friday, I tell you the dumbest thing that I read all week. And this goes in the category of the dumbest thing I read and saw all week, because we've got the video of this on our website at bayou957.com. Woman cooks boyfriend's steak in toaster. This happened on TikTok, the TikTok app. People make videos. This woman decided to cook her steak in a toaster. And the steak was for her and her, I was going to say lucky boyfriend, but not really. You know, it's interesting with social media. We can learn a lot of things. They're called hacks. You learn hacks, different hacks. But this isn't something that should be taught. A woman on TikTok posted the video in which she says she cooked a steak in her toaster. And she wrote, quote, cooking a steak for my boyfriend. And this is what she said. But instead of heating up a frying pan or even a broiler, she shoves the two steaks in the two slot toaster. The footage starts with two cuts of what appear to be sirloin steak being placed into a toaster. The woman then pushes the lever down, and the two steaks are then shown sizzling away inside the toaster. She later appears to pull the two now cooked pieces of steak from the toaster, covers them in steak sauce, and then takes a bite.
Anywhere from the boyfriend?
Did not see or hear from the boyfriend.
That should tell you everything you need to know then. If she cooked two steaks for her and her boyfriend, and you didn't see her boyfriend nowhere near it or be seen or heard in the video, nor did he take a bite, that goes to show you how good her steaks were.
When I saw this video for the first time, Coleman, the first word that popped into my mind was sin. I thought that was almost a sin.
A sin?
To take a sirloin steak and to put it in a toaster and then cook it in a toaster?
One could say that's blasphemy or maybe, you know, sort of desecration.
The woman does, you got to watch this. We've got this video on our website, bayou957.com. The woman does not show whether the toaster was able to cook the meat all the way through or if it simply browned the outside, leaving the inside raw. So we don't know if she did any editing. But what you can see in the video is she takes two pieces of steak, two steaks, puts them in the toaster, and then they pop up. I think it takes a little longer to cook them than it would a piece of toast.
Well, yeah, you have to keep your TikTok videos short. So even if she actually did cook it in the toaster, you wouldn't be able to see the entire video. I remember a few months ago, we were arguing about whether Donald Trump should ban TikTok because the information that the Chinese Communist government could get from our TikTok users. Well, here you go. This is what the people in China are getting. They're getting chicks putting steaks inside of toasters. Whoa, big threat to national security there.
He wanted to ban TikTok. He yeah. wanted an American company to buy it. Yeah, this is the information that they're...
Somebody in China is right now taking notes about a chick putting putting steak inside of a toaster.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that the communist Chinese government is getting their hands on. This is the kind of information. Her video had been viewed almost 2 million times, and it raised some concerns. Some people were ripping her.
Well, as bad as it is to put steaks inside of a toaster, it's not as bad as that one time Disney tried to tell us how to cook gumbo. Now, that was really a sin.
Yeah. Well, and after she uploaded the toasted, the steak toaster, cooking the steak in the toaster video on her TikTok channel, she then made a video of her cooking meatballs in a coffee maker.
Okay.
This is where we're at. So if you, again, we got this video for you on our website at bayou957.com. If you want to see the dumbest thing that I read and saw all week, the woman who cooked the steaks in her toaster, and she made a TikTok video that we've got on our website now at bayou957.com. That's the dumbest thing that I read and saw all week.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Hers too. Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So this Sunday here in the Superdome, the Saints are a big 9-point favorite over the injury-ravaged San Francisco 49ers. That's why they have point spreads. If you're going to bet on the Saints, they got to win by more than 9 points. But you can bet on football in the NFL without a point spread. If you want to bet odds, it's a little bit crazy. Like a bet just came into Las Vegas last night. This weekend, the Green Bay Packers are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are like the worst team in the league, and they have their backup quarterback, Jacksonville does. So Green Bay is an immense point favorite, but with the point spreads. But a guy just bet a straight up bet on the Packers, no point spread. He just bet on the Packers to win legally in Las Vegas. He bet $99,000, and if the Packers win the game, he wins $9,000.
Cha-ching!
So without the point spread, that's how you can also bet football legally with the casino in Las Vegas. But to win $9,000, he's got to wager. He's got to give them $99,000.
That's crazy. Hey, speaking of which, who picked Indianapolis last night out of the Bayou crew and just happened to win?
Yeah, you did, in the Colts.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I knew what I was doing.
And our King of the Bayou football challenge. There's no point spread there, but there's no odds there either. It's free and it's fun. And you should play with us. Click on our King of the Bayou football challenge box on our website at bayou957.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.